Yo, welcome to Crypto 101, the average consumer's guide to cryptocurrency. This is Matthew Aaron. And Zcoin was on the show only a couple of weeks ago. However, since the time they were on to now, they've discovered a cryptographic flaw in their zero coin protocol. What does that mean? What does that mean for the coin? What does that mean for their security? Well, Ruben came back on to tell us about all of that. And we thought it was only responsible to have him back on to clear the air about any kind of flaws or any kind of breaches in security. They also wanted to be very transparent about everything that was going on with their protocol. So here's Ruben to explain everything and answer some questions. Ruben Yap, COO of Zcoin. Welcome back to Crypto 101. Very soon, by the way.
Yeah, hasn't been like 2 weeks or so? Really quick.
Something like that, 2-3 weeks. But the reason why we're here is because there has been a discovery of a cryptographic flaw in the zero coin protocol. And I wanted to have you on the show to talk about that really quick, because a cryptographic flaw in the protocol is not a small deal. One, I want to talk about really quick of what that means, why it happened, and how, and actually how you fixed it, or if you did fix it. So if you would, please tell me, what is a cryptographic flaw in the zero coin protocol?
So basically, a cryptographic flaw, like cryptography, it's like, you know, a bunch of math and stuff like that describes the whole workings, internal workings of the protocol. And if the math fails or the cryptography fails, or there was like a wrong assumption, basically there was a fundamental issue with the design. And that should be contrasted with a coding error, which means that the protocol was fine, but you implemented it wrongly. So like with several zero coin bugs in the past, those were mostly coding errors. But in this particular case, it was like an actually fundamental design flaw in the sort of cryptographic system of zero coin.
And what does that mean? That means that they can print more or mine more coins out of thin air. Is that what that means? Or what's the repercussions of this? By the way, before we get into that, I apologize. How does math fail?
Yes, more of like the assumptions or your construction. So basically, I mean, just very quickly, so zero coin works by burning your coins and then allowing you to redeem brand new ones with no previous transaction history. And basically, to allow you to generate new coins, you need to prove that you burn coins in the past. And the flaw was in the proof, where that you can actually prove that you burn coins even though you didn't actually do it. Or actually, in this case, it was a bit weirder in the sense that you could take an existing burnt coin and then redeem it multiple times. So that is basically the sort of like the description of the flaw, that you are supposed to be only to be able to, when you burn the coin 10 coins, you should 10 forever, right? So right. Basically, the flaw allowed you to modify your transaction in such a way whereby you can redeem it many, many times, even though you only burnt once. Yeah.
What did you do to fix this? And when was it fixed? And how long and how many coins were generated via this flaw in the cryptography?
So we actually detected the flaw in around like 9th of April. It was probably going about a week or so. We were actually monitoring the network because we noticed some interesting patterns of traffic, but the flaw was quite subtle. Like, it wasn't like you just look at it, you it's really, really hard to spot. But when we noticed something that was like a bit off, because what had happened was, during a very brief moment in time, there were more people redeeming coins than there were people burning coins. So that definitely didn't make sense. So immediately we contacted the mining pools and disabled all zero coin activity there. And luckily the pools are friendly and agreed to disable it. And we only actually, quite a long time, only around 10 days later, we actually found the root cause of the issue. And basically, straight after that, we disclosed to a couple of projects. And just a couple of days later, we released an emergency update to disable zero coin on the consensus layer. So there isn't really an easy way to fix it, because it's such a fundamental flaw which has existed in the protocol since its inception. That was like 2014 or something like that. And what happened was, not exceeding 1% of the circulating supply, so that's about maximum damage is about 69,000 coins. But then we are hopeful that we can actually limit the damage. I wouldn't take up too much time explaining why, but that is why we can only release further details of the exact damage after when our new protocol that replaces Zcoin is released. So yeah, we're actually kind of fixing the issue, because we had already really long-term roadmap. We've been working on the replacement to Zerocoin since early 2018, and it just so happens that we're already transitioning to it, and I guess that's kind of lucky. But that means that we didn't although there are ways to fix Zerocoin, we decided, hey, you know, we're going to transition out, we might as well just transition out rather than waste time trying to fix something that we're not going to use anyway.
Gotcha. So 69,000 coins at today's price is up. We're almost $500,000 of coins that were created out of nowhere. How, we're talking about fixing, you know, the cryptography, we're talking about fixing the protocol, but how do you fix your reputation so people can trust something that has already had very big error in it?
Actually, interestingly, it's happened to Bitcoin twice.
There you go.
Yeah, like very early on, a couple of years into Bitcoin, I think like several, come on, it's like immense number, like trillions of Bitcoin were generated out of thin air. If you want to Google it, it's called the value overflow incident. So you can take a look at that. And just like a couple of months back, there was also a bug that could also create coins out of thin air. And it was detected by a Bitcoin Cash developer who then disclosed it to Bitcoin. That's also was in the news.
Right, I did hear about that one. They did not make or mint any Bitcoin.
Yes, it wasn't exploited, but it was live on the network. It could have been exploited.
Okay, so this is a, and I was just talking to Hashoshi from the Hashoshi YouTube channel just a minute ago before we hopped on this, and he said that this is a very actually easy and common problem for in cryptography to have like
which problem? You mean the inflation bug?
Yes, or just, you know, just cryptographic flaws in general.
Yeah, I mean, cryptographic flaws are kind of to be expected. And this is kind of why, you know, like why it isn't such a big problem in Bitcoin, because you have supply auditability. Like, yeah, there's only supposed to be this number of coins existing. So when you suddenly see coins get inflated out of thin air, you know something's not right, right? And with us, with Zerocoin or even with Sigma, there's a certain level of auditability in the sense that when you burn coins, you always have to bring it back to the base layer. So there's like, you can't do like transactions that are outside the ledger. Like for example, with Zcash, let's say if I create coins out of thin air. So even Zcash had a flaw, I think it was, that was disclosed in February this year. And that bug was also live for 2 years. And they're using a completely different protocol than us, but they had a similar type of bug where coins could have been created out of thin air. But because they don't have something, what we call auditable supply, that means like, let's say I create like billions of coins, but because I don't have to bring it back to the base layer, I could actually just transact it on the stealth layer and no one would know it even exists. So it's a really big issue. And even to today, Zcash can't say, we definitely haven't been hacked. They're just saying that we think most likely we haven't been hacked because it's such a complicated hack and because we're doing steps to mitigate it. So I think that's a really interesting, you know, I think it has happened to many currencies. It's happened to Stellar. Monero also had a similar type of bug where coins could be inflated, but it wasn't taken advantage of. So on the terms of reputation, I mean, definitely we've taken a reputational hit. But at the same time, I felt that many like really high profile industry players in the space realized that it's not easy to get this type of stuff right. And I think it shows to how we dealt with it, really shows to the quality of the team. We were good enough to find the flaw, you know? It's not a trivial, like a coding error that anyone else could find. And even when the other projects were trying to find the flaw, we were the first ones to find it. And secondly, you know, we did responsible disclosure. Obviously, we could have hurt other coins by not disclosing it and then exploiting it. But we did the right thing. We disclosed to them so they could patch themselves out without anyone exploiting it. So we're really proud of, like, you know, that, like, we handled it, you know, I would say in a very good manner. And I think that gained a lot of respect as well. So, I mean, sure, you know, we did suffer, you know, sort of like a setback. But I would say that, you know, it speaks to the values and the competence of the team that we managed to resolve this and actually even find the flaw in the first place.
I understand what you're saying. I understand when you say, you know, industry experts that really understand this stuff understands that, you know, this can happen. They understand the complexities behind it and so on and so forth. I kind of compare this though to like Tesla. You know, when Tesla's Model S's came out, their production, their quality of the cars that they were producing wasn't up to like the Fords, the GMs, the Hondas, the Toyotas, or what have you, because, well, it's very simple. It's they've been doing, Honda and Toyota and Ford, whatever, been doing it for decades or even generations. And Tesla's just trying to do this. And somebody that's, you know, working at production, at the production facility, they understand, and who's a professional, and they understand how hard it is to make a quality car. But then again, at the same time, the average consumer that bought that Tesla and their bumper falls off doesn't give a shit. What do you say to the people and the average consumer, the people that are using the coins, the people that may be holding the coins for an investment that saw, you know, 69,000 coins get printed out of thin air, as you said? How do you fix that reputation for the average consumer?
Well, first of all, like, no coins were actually stolen, so like people don't really lose their money. It's just, I would say, like a slight inflation, like less than 1% of circulating supply, which is like 0.3% of total supply. I don't know. In the grand picture, it doesn't really make a difference. I mean, I would say only perhaps the only difference is, like, you know, during the short market and then the hacker dumps the coins, right? That would be the only sort of, I would, like, long-term, like, drop. But in terms of, like, supply, an increase in less than 1% of your circulating supply or 0.3% of the supply shouldn't affect price significantly, logically. And, you know, if you think many people have actually lost their coins, lost their password, it can be seen actually, like, replacing those lost coins. But I think it's more of, like, I don't know. I mean, if people just say, like, oh, yeah, you guys have hacked, you know, I don't have trust in you guys whatsoever, I think that's a very naive kind of standpoint to have, because
Right. Everything
has bugs. You know, Bitcoin has bugs, and like those who say Bitcoin has never been hacked never actually looked into it. So
that one hurt a little bit. So, but before last question before we get off, I want to say thank you, Ruben, and thank you to being in front of this situation. You know, sure. A lot of people, I think the last time that somebody came on the show when something happened with their network was Zencash or Horizon. They had a 51% attack, and they came on the show, like, I think it was like maybe 24 hours after they found out, and they're like, we got to talk about this. And so talking about it is very important. But I have one last question for you, because I think this is an interesting question. If we could just do it quickly, though.
Sure. Is
Bitcoin, when these things happen to Bitcoin, there isn't a COO to come out and say, hey, this is what happened to Bitcoin, and this is how we're fixing it. It's a community. There's lead developers, or the developers that are, you know, just working on the Bitcoin core, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when this happens, the responsibility falls on you. What's the difference between, say, something, and how do you think, which one is better, a COO or somebody that's visibly responsible and accountable, or something that is like more of a Satoshi Nakamoto where nobody really knows where the accountability lies?
Eventually Zcoin, we feel like we're kind of like the, you know, the trustees, you know, for the first few years we're going to like steer it where we think we want it to go, and then after that it should be owned by the community. I think it should be kind of like what Bitcoin is, right? And I don't think there's actually much difference. I mean, although there wasn't like a CEO type of person in Bitcoin, there was still a official statement, a vulnerability disclosure. There was even a developer that was actually saying, yeah, that was my fault, I didn't look through it carefully. So I don't think there's any like really significant difference. I mean, yeah, you know, it's easy to blame someone that like me, but I would say that, but I think it helps that, you know, okay, at least especially in the early stages, that when the project isn't so established yet, which we aren't right now, it helps to look like, hey, there are people looking after this and they're watching out. So I think in early stages it's good to have a face to explain and make sure that, you know, everyone knows what's happening. But once the project like progresses and has gone towards the community, then it should be kind of like, you know, self-regulation disclosures by the developer team or whoever that discovers it. But I think, you know, if something like this really happened to Bitcoin, it would be a lot worse, I think, because, you know, there's just so much, you know, like Bitcoin has a very, they're not so experimental, right? They're just trying to stick to what works and slowly incrementally improve. But stuff like projects like us, project like Zcash, you know, we're dealing with cutting edge technology, which has a higher risk of failure. And I guess this is why it's great to also have other projects as well, you know, not just Bitcoin.
Ruben Yap, COO of Zcoin, thank you very much for coming on Crypto 101 and talking about
this. Thanks so much, Matthew.